This is an ENN special report. Now reporting.
Peter, you look very handsome.
ENN's at 6.
When the clock struck 6, it meant one thing.
I want to go chase the squall.
Peter has nothing interesting to say.
Now, from the ESPN New York News Desk, here's
Rosenbaum or whatever that guy's name is.
No wonder your show is number one.
ENN, which is sponsored by the All-American Ford Auto Group, shop the largest and best Ford group in the Northeast at allamericanford.net. All-American Ford has the largest selection and the best prices with locations in Paramus, Hackensack, Old Bridge, and Point Pleasant, New Jersey. We'll start off by saying good evening to Michael.
That makes you a clown shoe.
Right.
It makes you also a window licker.
And we'll also say good evening to Don.
I just didn't know I'm being mocked.
Yeah. This format and told Silva.
Well, guys.
Suka.
Asuka.
Got to spell it differently.
So we have to wait. We're waiting until 6:30 for the big finale.
This is your show. If you'd like to play the Don Show.
I want people to stick it through ENN.
Okay.
And then you get the Don Show at 6:30, part three.
The finale.
I don't know if I want this.
Oh, sorry.
A lot of feelings being hurt today.
Let's go. Let's hear the end of the All-Star game last night on ESPN Radio, shall we?
The intrigue. Davis has the ball. Spins it in his hands. Free throw up. It's good. It's over. Team LeBron has won the 69th NBA All-Star Game, 157-155 over Team Giannis.
Mark Kesser on the call.
Great call. The only thing that was bad about that fourth quarter was it ended on a free throw.
I felt the same way.
So I don't know if you could somehow change that and you have to win by three. Like if you played in the park, you had to win by two.
That was my friend's suggestion, was win by four.
Right.
It was so fun. You didn't want it to end.
No.
You definitely didn't want it to end.
But those guys were going to, I mean, they might get hurt
at some point.
Exhaustion.
Now, Team LeBron did narrowly defeat Team Giannis, 157-155, the first edition of this new NBA All-Star format. The winning team needed to reach 157 points after Team Giannis had a 133-124 cumulative lead through the first three.
Isn't it amazing, Peter, if you think about it? Other than the caller, Jim, I think, early in the show, this has been unanimous in the praise for this format. Unanimous. It was perfection. The fourth quarter was perfection. It was sports perfection.
Sports was better
than a fourth quarter in an NBA Finals because the talent level was higher. There's no Matthew Dellavedova out there.
You keep going after him. It's wrong.
It is
You're
wrong.
Going after
what
him. And also,
what about J.R. Smith?
J.R. Smith, I can use
him. But nothing's on the line, Michael. Yeah, I understand you have ancillary players in Game 7.
Sometimes pride is bigger than metal.
No, you're not comparing it to an NBA Final, Michael.
But it was, from an entertainment standpoint, as good.
Because you build it up. There's a lot of great talent on there, but you can't tell me that if you had the same scenario where it's coming down to the wire, Game 7, NBA Finals, I mean, it's not comparable to that.
But to the point of if you don't have a rooting interest in the NBA Final, right?
Mm-hmm.
Andrew, you had an extra rooting interest yesterday. As opposed to an NBA Final with no one to root for, Andrew's rooting for Joel Embiid. I'm rooting for Jason Tatum. Like, you do have people involved.
Okay, so LeBron James has obviously played for a lot of NBA championships.
Correct.
I don't think he has ever played any harder than he played in that fourth quarter last night.
He was going for it.
I'm not saying he played harder, but there was that intensity that you have in the seventh game of a championship game.
I do think Kobe added to that. I can't imagine that next year it's going to have the same intensity. I'm not against the format. I think the format works, and I think that they're going to want to win. I think the Kobe element, considering what Kobe represented.
Well, here's a good point on that. Here, Chris Paul, after talking about his emotions around honoring Kobe.
It was tough early, especially early. For a lot of us, it's still surreal. You know, it's not real until you start showing pictures and talking about it. But I think the best way we could honor Kobe, Gigi, and everyone involved was to play like we played. You know what I mean? Me and Russ kept talking about it. Like, that's one thing about Cole whenever he was on our team in the All-Star game. It wasn't none of that cool stuff. It wasn't none of that. It was like, as long as they throw the ball up, let's get to it.
And that's exactly what we talked about earlier in the show.
Well, maybe that legacy continues.
Yeah, that's the thing.
But here's the hypocrisy in that, is that we have load management all over. And then for what really is, in effect, a meaningless game, guys are going to go out and kill themselves.
But they're playing.
And then 2 weeks from now, I can't play in the second of back-to-backs in Sacramento because there's bigger fish to fry at the end of the season. I'm just saying, I'm not trying to throw cold water, and I think what happened yesterday was great, and the Kobe aspect, I think, put it over the top. But, Peter, in essence, does it make sense for an all-star game to where guys are you're busting it? Because you can love it, but if Embiid got hurt, you know, in that game, then there's going to be Andrew's going to have a different feel if he ends up losing a player in the second half of the year. That's ultimately why these all-star games never really settle in into being a blood sport like yesterday.
Does it make sense? No. However, you would understand why players with a format that makes sense would be really motivated to show out against the other best players in the league, as opposed to a regular season game in a long season against a team without much rivalry and out much impact.
I'll tell you what, bragging rights is a strong thing.
Especially among these guys. They're all close. So
that would bother me though. You know, cause you're still selling the regular season. I understand that the ratings are important and the All-Star game is important to a certain extent. But ultimately what ends up happening, Peter, is that, because I see it in the NHL too, somebody gets hurt in a skills comp. I remember one year Mike Richter blew out his knee in a skills competition. Then all of a sudden it's like, I don't want them going anymore.
Well, but
this is ridiculous. Why is he going? I end up getting hurt. I end up losing a player in the second half
realistic.
Of the season.
But be realistic. We can talk all about how the All-Star game doesn't matter as much, and what matters is the regular season. But who's going and spending the money that people spend on All-Star tickets? Who's flying to cities to go watch regular season games? This weekend means more.
No, but it does. But it does and it doesn't.
I understand. You're talking strictly about winning a championship.
Well, you're playing in front of the greatest people who ever played, too, not just on the court. I mean, the greatest NBA stars are in that audience.
The celebrities. NBA stars.
I get that. But if LeBron, you know, blew his ACL in that game late, and the Lakers don't win the championship, how is history going to remember that? LeBron blowing out his ACL in a meaningless game. That's what's going to get talked about.
So you said you're not trying to throw cold water. You're 100% throwing cold water. And here's the question I have for you. What would you prefer? They mail it in? You want to go back to last year? Mail it in?
I'm just warning you. I've been in this business long enough. Yesterday's separate because of the Kobe element. None of that matters.
It just had to be.
But I'm saying, as time goes on, if they play this intense to win every year, there's a good chance that someone is going to get hurt. And when that person gets hurt, that's going to blow the entire format up. Unless it's some, you know, scrub on the Hawks that nobody cares about. And he's not a scrub if he's in the All-Star game, but on a team that's got no second half to worry about. But if a LeBron, if a Curry, if a Kyrie gets hurt and affects their team going forward, what do you think the theme is going to be? What's going to be on PTI the next day? What's going to be debated? Is it worth playing in this game when you can affect the second half of your season? We've seen it.
But that's honestly just because we're the worst. Because the media is going to, we have hours to fill talking, and we go the other direction. Because guess what? We've complained every year when they don't play hard. We'll turn around and complain if they do play hard.
I'm just telling you because Michael is laying out because he loves this format, but he will tell you. Jets-Giants preseason was always the cool third preseason game. Everybody plays three quarters. Pride on the line. Then, you know, Jason Sehorn blows out his knee, and it's like, well, we don't want to do this anymore.
The preseason matters nothing because that's all anybody talks about. That's why All-Star games don't work. But, you know, maybe just for a quarter they're willing to strap it on and go. Because in baseball, you don't want to blow out your arm. In football, you don't want to tear an ACL. You don't want to get a concussion. In hockey, they don't play any defense.
Well, because they don't want to get hurt. Because nobody wants to throw that check that's going to knock somebody out in the second half of the year. Hey, listen, we saw it in the Olympics. What's better than the Olympics to win a gold medal for your country? But if a player on your favorite hockey team gets hurt in that Olympic game, it's like, what is he going there for? He's supposed to win the Stanley Cup. I'm just warning you, now that the Kobe element's out of it, can this sustain this way for a long period of time? I hope it does, because
people
are very excited, but I'm just telling you that if something were to happen, I think everybody's mind would quickly change.
Well, I mean, up to that point, but I think next year it'll be just as intense because now it's a thing, and they see how much they enjoyed it, how much their viewing public, their audience enjoyed it, everybody loved it. So I think next year will be just as intense.
Like these guys in their lives right now, they're getting blown up from everyone. Going, oh my God,
How great was that? Yep.
So let's go back to Saturday night.
No.
On TNT.
No.
Aaron Gordon.
Why?
In a dunk-off against Derrick Jones Jr. because it was still tied after their final round.
Okay. That sounds like your football announcer.
They're playing football.
Is that where you were going anyway?
Sorry. Of course it was. And then.
Can I, one thing, and I said this earlier, why is Chadwick Boseman judge, and why is Common judging?
Well, here's the scores being revealed.
This is easy, right? Well, they're all looking at each other's scores, too.
Man, this is easy.
Come on, man. This ain't right.
And for the second time, Aaron Gordon screwed. Here he is.
I feel like I should have two trophies. I still feel like I'm one of the best, if not the best dunker in the world. So I still feel that.
So are we going to see you try this a third time at some point?
I don't think so, because this would be my fourth time. So the third time was a charm. I thought I did what I needed to do to win. I don't think I'm going to do it again.
Good for him. Also, did you see what Common said to Ramona Shelburne?
No.
He said, we were trying to get them a tie. Somebody didn't understand. That's fixing it. That's not real competition. So they wanted to have two people give a 9, three people give a 10, and then it would have ended in a tie. And by the way, the kid that won, I don't know why his name keeps slipping my mind, Derrick Jones Jr., why didn't he just come out and say, you know what, Aaron Gordon deserves half of this trophy as well? Instead, he acted like he actually earned it. He did not earn it. Although he was great, he wasn't better than Aaron Gordon. And he should have said, I'll split the trophy. Instead, he said, well, if he wants to win, he can come back next year. I mean, that was the wrong. It was such a feel-good weekend. All he had to do was come up there and go, I'd like to split this trophy with Aaron Gordon.
Now, and you think if he does that, they would have made them co-champions probably?
They might have.
Because, like, it's not a real thing.
Yeah, they're not getting anything expensive. They're not getting a car. They're getting a trophy. Take out a chainsaw and just carve it out.
As Rob Manfred would say, it's just a stupid
piece of metal. Yeah.
Who cares? So speaking of which,
by the way, All-Star Game Celebrity, up 11% viewership.
Is that what they're saying?
Yeah. And last year you didn't do the All-Star Game.
No, I did. I did commentary last year.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you were better this year, so 11% it went up.
A lot of promo. But no. But last year was the first year people heard me do it. So then the next year it's, I gotta see it. Oh my God, did you hear what happened last year?
Well, also what a lot of people in our business should take note of, we moved the needle on the show.
Exactly.
There's not an afternoon show, any music, any kind of talk format that has more listeners.
And
than
how
us.
Much did we talk about the celebrity game leading up to it?
And people tuned in and moved the needle. 11% up thanks to this show. So the show is the reason this time.
The show is the reason.
We sell books, we sell tickets.
It's really true.
Yeah, we better sell books.
Yeah, I certainly hope so. Mike Trout has weighed in on the Astros controversy. He has ripped the entire Astro organization and called for stiffer punishment, calling it, quote, sad for baseball, and said he also lost respect for some of the players. Now, this is not anyone speaking. This is the best player in baseball, and Tim Kirkson was on SportsCenter talking about how important these words are.
Not only is he the best player in baseball, he is the face of baseball, and everything he says is measured. He's never controversial, but for him to come out and be this strong is very, very telling. And I think he speaks for the majority of Major League players who think the Astros players should have been punished here.
It's your union. If Mike Trout calls up Tony Clark, then let the union tell Rob Manfred these people have to be punished. They keep complaining, but Manfred said he didn't punish them because he knew that the union would appeal. So if the players, the majority of the players in the union say we want them punished, then they wouldn't appeal.
Right.
And but then you also have a problem because the union represents everybody, even the cheaters.
But imagine a judge saying, I'm going to find you innocent because you're going to appeal anyway. So let's just save the taxpayers a lot of money. But they do
not sometimes charge people when they think that they can't win the case. So Manfred didn't essentially charge them because he knew he couldn't win the case.
But you know what the difference is here? This is a circumstance where the court of public opinion matters because you're in the business of selling tickets and the credibility of your sport. If Manfred suspended them for a year, and the Players Association fought it and won, then the Players Association becomes the villain. Then Tony Clark's the bad guy. Manfred could say, I did everything I could. Blame Tony Clark for appealing. Blame the Players Association for fighting it. And you know what? If he had done that, maybe they wouldn't have appealed, because listen to what the players are saying. So that's where he made, that's where he really messed up.
When you said earlier the thing about Common talking to Ramona Shelburne, when I think about Common talking these days, all I think about is this.
AI.
Have you seen the commercial for him talking about artificial intelligence?
Yeah. Love it.
AI. Not Allen Iverson, who also had a nice moment before the game with LeBron James. I don't know if you saw that.
No.
Yeah, it was nice. He was, Iverson was wearing a full, like, a Kobe. Much better than, I love Spike Lee, but Spike Lee's Oscar outfit. I know it was a tribute, but I liked what AI did instead. Just went with a classic Mitchell and Ness yellow number 8 Kobe throwback. I guess you can't wear that to the Oscars, but you understand what I'm saying.
You can wear whatever you want to the Oscars.
It's a great point. You're Spike Lee,
can
for
you?
God's sake.
Well, sure Spike Lee does. I mean, you look like an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, my God.
He did?
Last year, well, with the purple. I know he was doing the Kobe thing, but he
oh, my God. He's really had some day today.
Now, I was critical.
He's down on everybody.
But Don went full Loompa. I didn't expect
that. You should hear the stuff that he's even saying off the air. He's out of his
mind
today.
What did I say off the air?
I mean, you're comparing yourself to legendary people.
I'm just saying that I do think it's folly, as Michael likes to say, that the mere suggestion of being on center stage is like looked upon as a joke.
It is.
Meanwhile, I think I can move the needle in New York. I move the needle in New York here.
Now, do you think that you could, I'm looking
on this
here,
show.
Do you think you have an hour's worth of the story other than giving lists? You sit there for an hour and engage an audience?
Wow.
Honestly, do you think your life story is that riveting to engage an audience for an hour?
So. You don't think my life's worth it?
I'm asking
that's exactly
you.
What you're saying.
I'm asking you.
I do believe.
You.
I think I can entertain a crowd and
well,
an audience for an hour.
Well, I'm not saying sitting there juggling. Is your story compelling enough?
Don't talk to me that way.
To withstand
yeah,
an hour.
Have I not said on this show a million times, this is a completed Hail Mary. The fact, I think people will be interested to know that somebody that's a complete hack talent-wise can actually be on
but
the number
you
one show
completed,
in New York.
A completed Hail Mary fills an hour of questions? Listen, you have John Filippelli's home number. Call him today and say, I deserve
can
to
Can you
on
do
Sims
an
State.
Hour on the Immaculate Reception? That's the level of me getting here.
That's a great point. And also, for the record, Michael.
My goodness.
You have plenty of people here. Are there stories that much? Is Jim Nance's story
no.
so much more interesting than
people,
Don's?
Yeah.
If
Why?
That was a radio show, people would drive off the George Washington Bridge completely stone cold asleep.
The way you think about
is
yourself
Bobby,
is almost
I don't
dangerous.
Think about myself as anything. I'm just saying that we're supposed to be like close.
We are close.
And you, and,
I do
you
anything
just,
for you,
you know,
except
you can't
put
you
on stage.
Can't even like feign like, oh, you know, that's a good idea,
it's
Don,
not
and
a
then
good
not
idea.
Follow through.
It's not a good idea.
Well, Don
hey,
just do me a favor. Just do me a favor. If you have some other moment in your career that none of us are expecting, you have a viral moment, something happens, you become the next biggest TikToker. It's like, you know, those three like 16-year-old girls and then Don. And you have a really, I'm talking about a huge moment and everyone's interviewing you. You're on Ellen. You're on, don't do it. Don't do center stage. And he goes, Don, it's your time. I just want you to go, you know what? I'm going to go ahead and pass. I've done a lot of
There's one person that you could compare yourself. Of the 250 people we've done on center stage, you could say Chris Russo. Right?
No, Chris Russo, when you had him on.
Right.
Was way more significant, and that was a great
yeah, but I'm
stage.
Saying Chris Russo, I mean,
they're
Chris
the same
Russo
ballpark.
Got a 30 for 30, mate. We can't even get
well,
a 30
that
30 made for us.
I've gone on record saying that the fact that they made that 30 for 30, they should be embarrassed.
The whole company.
We should be as embarrassed as a company.
It's not fair.
Wow.
I think everybody agrees here, but they don't have the guts to say it.
I
will say
I agree with you.
That 30 for 30
it should never have been done. Ever.
To know it.
Ever.
Is okay, a couple more here.
That'll come right after the
Mark Harmon.
Sports One.
Mark Harmon is one of the biggest television stars in the world.
That's such an overstatement. It's gross.
That show is like.
Maybe okay. If he's promoting Night School in 1987.
Okay. Let me go back. Don, I got you here. I got Donnie right here. Okay. On May 18th, 2011.
Where are you getting this list?
I have Jay Moore. Don's not in the same conversation as Jay Moore.
No, he's not.
If this was
he knew I was right. Andrew,
if
he
this
knew
was
I was right.
Right after Jerry Maguire.
Who's this?
It wasn't
then
right
I got
after.
No show.
It wasn't.
It wasn't.
Right after.
I
it
believe
years
that
and
May,
years.
May 18th, 2011, it was
years
well past.
And years, a decade.
We're just having fun. I just don't like to be disrespected by somebody that I think I'm close to.
But don't you want somebody close to you to speak?
I don't think that would
Wow, you had Dan Rather. That's a good get.
That's a very good get.
Are you being nasty?
What? They do a great job.
I'm being serious.
What's the frequency, Kenneth?
The bookings here are actually very good. Now, the list I've been given is a list of notable guests, right? Is this every guest?
I'll give you the full list tomorrow if you'd like. I have 250.
Oh, this is everybody? This is a long list here. Okay. Well, this is going to sound unpopular because I know he was on the team, but he's not anymore. Darren Williams?
At the time, it was big. We put Don on center stage. It might be zeros across as a rail.
Oh, you know what?
That's disrespectful. I'm not saying that I should be in any kind of book. I'm not saying that it would be on a best of center stage. I'm not even saying they have to repeat it. I'm not saying I'm more significant than these people, but I do believe that I would get a number.
Why are you arguing with me? I don't get the guess. Call up John Filippelli, the head of the YES Network.
I'm done with that. Nice backpedal. Hamstrings must be pretty strong after that.
Exactly.
I'm done with John.
Why are you done with Flip? What did Flip do to you?
He doesn't reach out anymore. He doesn't call. He doesn't talk to me. What? It's all about Peter now.
Wow.
I'm good.
Well, Peter knows how to work it.
I don't hear from Flip every day.
Flip it and reverse it.
I don't flip it and reverse it all the time.
Hey, congratulations to Leo Kafakis from Astoria. He won the WWE tickets.
That's a great name.
Leo Kafakis.
Have fun at Monday Night Raw. It's going to be made.
Are you going to be there?
I might be in attendance.
Oscar the Grouch? Who was it that's going to be there?
Oscar.
That's the day right after Rothenberg's bar mitzvah. Have you ever replied on that?
I did. I sent, even though I told him over text, I still sent it because the card stock was so beautiful.
It was.
So I saved it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah, I might want to reuse it as like my own personal construction paper.
I'm using it as a doorstop. It's that heavy.
No, it is. Yeah. Oh, my God. He must have paid thousands per.
This is a wedding level thing.
It's also a
5.5 hour an event.
And
even Jody says to me, how long do we have to stay? I said, I guess as long as we're having a good time.
The party's 5.5 hours?
Yeah.
Because we're on natural leaving time because I've never been to
a bar
mitzvah.
It's like 3 to 8 it's listed.
Like at a wedding, you kind of wait for the cutting of the cake and then that's when everybody kind of leaves.
When he makes out with a woman, because he's officially a man then, when that happens.
That happens.
Is that it, Andrew? In a bar mitzvah? Is that the
It sounds like something from a wedding singer. But I don't think this is an actual
thing.
Out
with a woman part?
What is it, Andrew?
I mean, it's more than make out when you become a man.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Sure.
No, I mean, the bar mitzvah signifies kind of you're becoming a man, like you said.
Yeah, but the end of the party is what? Like Don said, cutting the cake.
There's no...
And a wedding.
I don't...
Or no, when one of your family members gives a 30-minute speech. We know that's when you leave.
I don't know if there's a thing.
No, there's no official
thing. There's no thing. So we can leave when we want.
But Michael seemed like he makes out. Like that's where like
the ushering is. No, they do is after...
Right, time now for the ceremonial make out.
No, they do... They do the hora and everyone dances.
Who?
Excuse me? And after the horror is over and everyone finishes the dance, you just see the kid just get whisked away and he leaves into another part of the building.
Doesn't the kid make out with Elaine Bennis or try at some point?
That's an episode of Seinfeld. It's not real life. Justin Turner also has weighed in. He was very upset that Rob or Bob Manfred.
It's not Bob.
We should only
Don't
call
disrespect
him. At this point, we should only call him Bob. He was shocked at Manfred's comments that showed a lack of respect for the World Series trophy.
For him to devalue it the way he did yesterday is just tells me how out of touch he is with the players in this game. And, you know, at this point, the only thing devaluing that trophy is that it says commissioner on it.
Wow.
Yeah.
Strong.
Again, Rob is such a smart guy to call the World Series trophy a piece of metal. Andrew, have we officially put out the request for an interview with Rob?
I did a couple weeks ago, but I'll
throw
I'll
another one in
back.
There. I mean,
I try every day.
There's certain things he has to answer.
You're throwing one
I
more.
Do believe, Michael, this will cost him his job at some point
down the road.
You're wrong. Don't dismiss it. I've got lots of things I can say about
it. My opinion is I think you're wrong.
I can't have
an opinion?
He's allowed to have an opinion.
But you dismissed it. You're wrong. I believe, mark my words, because he will start to, over time, lose the confidence of the owners because these players have their owners' ears. They're ticked off because they felt like somebody got away with it. You don't think the owners feel the same way?
I'm going to make an outrageous prediction. Rob Manfred will be commissioner of baseball when one of us passes away.
Bob Manfred. It could be tomorrow, God forbid. I don't want to sit. Why does everything got to be tied to death?
everything is tied to death.
There's only two things. You either get naked or you die.
By the way, you're naked when you die.
26th book. Get naked or die.
Yeah.
I don't think he negotiates this next CBA.
Oh, you're so wrong.
But
I'm sorry, you're wrong.
We should remember this moment.
The players can't stand him. You don't think the owners will be like, I don't know if this is the guy that should negotiate our CBA. The players all hate him.
All about money.
I have a question.
If, if anybody could do this.
Don, was this the Islanders game, a replay?
No,
live
it's right now.
This is live. A bunch of, it's President's Day. Oh. People that work are morons.
So wait, wait,
so they put games on during the day.
Great people. This is a live game. It's a it's a weekend game.
So this is a slew of 4 o'clock games. Matter of fact, Ovechkin's going for 700 right now. The game faced off at 6. It's hockey, man.
Wow.
I mean, most people are off.
I got it. Okay, I was confused because we're here.
Well, the great ones work.
Let's do that hockey.
Tyson Fury was on with Ariel Helwani on his MMA podcast ahead of his fight this weekend with Deontay Wilder.
Helwani's great.
For the championship. You're a big Helwani guy
now.
Oh,
my goodness.
And he got a tremendous reaction when we had him on the show.
Yeah. And his book is going to be called Helwani to Pay.
Really? Did the Islanders win this game?
They lost 2-1.
What's going on?
Well, here's Fury on the possibility of retiring after the fight this weekend.
I know you say it's one fight at a time, but is there an age where you say to yourself you don't want to fight anymore?
I've not got an age, but I've got 3 fights left on my contract with ESPN. And after that, I will seriously think about walking away.
Why is that?
Because I don't need to fight anymore. What's the point? What am I going to gain from it? When I beat Wilder on Saturday, I'll have completed the game. The game will be completed. I'll have won every single belt there is to win in the game, from minor to major. I'll have won the Ring Magazine belt twice, becoming only the second man in history to do that, me and Muhammad Ali. So, yeah, nothing more to do at all. Even after this win on Saturday, nothing more to be gained.
Has a more of a high-pitched voice than I would think. And also, is it wrong of me? I don't believe a word that comes out of a boxer's mouth. Not a word.
I know,
not a word.
About retiring?
Oh, please.
And even everything. Do you think you're going to win? Yeah. They don't know.
Yeah, they have no idea.
Are you going to retire? Oh, yeah, a couple more fights and I'm done.
I got 3 more with ESPN. No, sorry, another multimillionaire. Please stop. Noise.
And by the way, and how does that argument change? Most people with a pulse believe he's going to lose this weekend. Almost everyone I've spoken to believes emphatically that he will lose.
Really?
He doesn't.
The other thing was a draw. Why would it?
Because he doesn't have the power to knock out Wilder.
He's so big. Why doesn't he have the power?
He just doesn't. So if you go 12 rounds, eventually Wilder's going to catch him with the right hand and beat him, and he can't catch Wilder. So a lot of people believe that he will not win. And I'm curious, so then do you have something to prove then? Because if you don't beat Wilder, then you're 0-1-1 against Wilder.
But here's what keeps them all coming back. Money.
Oh, there's
so even if he wins and then has 3 more fights on his ESPN deal, then there's more money to be made. They can't walk away from money. They can't. That's why they got into boxing in the first place.
Well, and also, it's not like you're 50. This is the time to do
it. He's not going to be a singer.
Right. Well, no, his singing's not great. That'll do it for ENN, this very special holiday.
President's Day.
President's Day edition. Yeah. That's right. Thank you, guys. Thank you very much.
Really, well done.
Don, thank you. I appreciate that.
That's a clap of a center stage guest. We should actually put it up, put a poll up.
Yeah.
Is Don a worthy center stage guest?
Well, you know what our audience is going to say.
Well, let me tell you who, we're working on for center stage. Can I tell you?
Go ahead.
I mean, we're really close to booking Jimmy Fallon. Is he Jimmy Fallon level?
No.
No. What are you saying?
But you're trying, but if you don't book
him. I hate Don.
But Fallon, okay, he's at a very high level. Some aren't as at that high level.
Yeah, you have a name.
Who else you working on? You do like 3 a year, maybe do a 4th.
That's a great, you know what? Another great point.
Are you as big as your idol, the only center stage you went to, Alan Alda?
In the grand scheme of things, no.
Right.
But I think I can pull an Alda number in New York.
I don't think you can. The Michael K. Show, 98.7 ESPN, brought to you by Geico. The real value in car insurance isn't how much you save. It's also the kind of service you get. Good thing Geico's been perfecting both for over 75 years.
I can't wait for the Raceman article. LaGreca thinks he's bigger than Jimmy Fallon.
Well, that's
but, I mean, really.
When you hear things third hand, sometimes that comes
after
across.
After segment 3, all right, you met Nancy when you were 15? Well, what else is there? What other, seminal moment?
Right. When I think about it, I really have accomplished nothing.
The IATA years? Sports phone?
Look at him.
That's a great call.
Driving sports phone into the ground and bankrupting. That's
so, real quick, Michael, take us segment by segment what the show would look like if you were to try to get through a Don episode. Episode 1, childhood.
Well, we start off with, the pinnacle. What's it like to be on the number one talk show in New York?
Mm-hmm.
What was that climb like? And then second segment, we go to his childhood. Mm-hmm. So you broke your brother's leg.
Nips
talk
over
about
Gypsy
that.
Pond,
talk Clixies. About hanging out behind Clixies and getting drunk at an illegal age.
Mm-hmm.
Then we go on. Then we go to, hit and run. Favorite actor.
See, a lot of this is known already.
You're not helping yourself.
See, that's the answer he'd give me. Well, not a lot of this is known because we're the number
one. My favorite actor is Alan Alda. Don't do it now. You're wasting it.
Who's you having the foxhole?
Just doing a show.
You have to say Nancy.
I guess I'd have to say
she,
Nancy.
She pluck your eye out.
By the way, it's not true.
You familiar with the work of David Blow?
The foxhole question is the biggest lie spot in the world.
I do have to say one thing, though, and this is really going to upset him.
Okay.
And I believe that this guy is a legitimate center stage level guest.
Oh, no. Why are you doing this?
DiPietro. They're very close to booking. Number one pick in the NHL draft.
Whoa.
Do you belong on more than DiPietro?
You're going to make me say it, aren't you?
I want to know.
I think I'd do a bigger number.
Let's
you're really trying to book him? That'd be a good spot.
Yeah, let's towel off. Kay LeGrecca.
I mean, well, you got to really try?
He's got things to do. He's coaching a hockey team. He has a show every day.
He gets up at 3 in the morning.
Well, what do you think? We're going to film center stage at 4?
I think you might have to in order to get this done.
Kay LeGrecca, Rosenberg and you on Yes and 98.7 ESPN.
Thanks for listening to the Michael K. Show podcast.
That's right, man.
Don't miss Michael, Don, and Peter weekday afternoon starting at 2:55 on 98.7 ESPN in New York. Or look for us under Listen on the ESPN app.